Amen.
I just want to get to the Word of God this morning.
All right.
I don't have any cool introductions, any poems, any nice stories. I just want to get to the Word this morning. Please stand with me and turn to the first chapter of James.
All right.
I'm going to start at chapter 1. And I'm going to read verses 21 through 27. James chapter 1. Verses 21 through 27. When you have it, say amen.
Amen.
I want to read this from King James. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul.
Yes, sir.
But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only.
Right.
Deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in the glass. For he beholds himself and goes his way and straightway forgets what manner of man he was.
Right.
But whoso looketh unto the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed.
Yes, sir.
If any man among you seem to be religious and bridles not his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is in vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world.
All right.
You may be seated.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, you know I cannot preach this word this morning under my own power. But I thank you for the Holy Ghost. I thank you for that enabling spirit this morning, and I ask that you fill me with that spirit at this moment for this time to minister to these people. Fill your people this morning. Pour into them. Speak to them like only you can. Be glorified by what happens in here this morning. Let us hear from you clearly and loudly, so we do the things that are pleasing in your sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Let the believers say, amen.
Amen. Amen.
To Pastor Barnwell, and welcome back, Minister Barnwell. Congratulations. And to all that are in the house this morning. I used to work for a guy who had this expression. He said, put the dead cat on the table. What that meant was take the ugly thing that nobody wants to deal with and deal with it.
All right.
So that's what we're going to do this morning.
Okay.
Because if I were to give the State of the Union address today for the church, I would have to say that the church is at a crossroads. There's a change taking place in our midst. People are coming. People are going. Some are unhappy. Some are happy. Some just don't care anymore. And this is not unique to us. All churches at one time or another face serious problems, and they deal with these problems in a variety of ways. Some are in denial. Others are oblivious. And others view difficulties as just another set of obstacles to overcome on this Christian journey.
Okay.
But one thing is clear, and that is not everyone views the situation the same way. See, when things aren't going our way, when things are not going our way, we have a tendency to blame others.
Mm-hmm.
You hear chatter. I'm on the lines of, well, he's not doing his job. or she's not doing what she's supposed to do,
mm-hmm.
or this set of people aren't doing what they're supposed to do.
All right.
However, what you seldom hear during times like this is people saying, well, here's what I can do, or here's what I'm going to do,
yes, sir.
To make things better. See, our natural response seems to be to point out the flaws in others and to voice our opinion on how things ought to be.
Mm.
However, somewhere along the line, we need to stop and listen to what God has to say.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Because regardless of what you think, this is His church. And if anyone's opinion or account in God's church,
yes, sir.
It ought to be His.
Come on.
Because if we are true Christians,
mm-hmm.
if we're true believers,
yeah.
the Word of God is supposed to be our standard.
Yeah.
And that's supposed to be our point of reference that we go to when things are out of whack.
Mm-hmm.
The Word should always have an impact on us. And that impact ought to be in four different areas.
Mm.
The Word of God should impact us to a point where it causes us to reform, to receive, to respond, and to reach out.
All right.
So before you tune out this morning, I want you to repeat after me. I'm going to reform.
I'm going to reform.
I'm going to receive.
I'm going to receive.
I'm going to respond.
I'm going to respond.
And I'm going to reach out.
I'm going to reach out.
Because in order for the Word to have that kind of effect on us, each of us needs to examine ourselves and our commitment to the body of Christ. If we were to make an honest self-evaluation of our stewardship, of what God has given us, we would have to say that as individuals, and collectively, that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We need to do better.
Okay, yes, sir.
And that's nothing new. We've heard it before. We've said it before.
Mm.
We even have made attempts to do it before. But for us to fulfill our purpose as a church and as individuals, we can't look at where this person has fallen short. And we can't look at where that person has fallen short. And we can't look at where this group of people may have missed the mark.
Mm-hmm.
We have to start with, and I'm fine with the title of the message, the man in the mirror.
All right. Yes, sir.
We all need to change. And true change starts on the inside.
Okay.
But that's not where most of us typically start.
Mm.
See, so many people feel that if they can change their appearance or some type of physical attribute about themselves, the quality of their lives is going to improve. You hear people say things like, if I could just lose weight, I'd be happier. If I could change my hair, I'd be happy. If I were shorter, taller, darker, lighter, things would be different. If I had a nicer car, I'd be happier. If I had a bigger house, I'd be happier. If I had a bigger church, I'd be happier. Because people have been tricked into believing that physical changes or material possessions that can be seen on the outside will somehow make them feel better about themselves on the inside. But it doesn't work that way, never has, never will. Because our text tells us in verse 21 that change must begin on the inside.
Yes, sir.
And that change is brought about by the Word of God. That's why point number one this morning is the Word of God must reform us.
Mm-hmm.
See, while we invest time and money to change ourselves on the outside, the Bible says we have to start on the inside.
Yes, sir.
We must start by making internal changes to our character.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because our character, how we think on the inside, will dictate our conduct how we, what we display on the outside. And this change starts with the man in the mirror.
Yes, sir.
That's why Paul said in Romans 12, we have to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Now, as a society, we spend a great deal of time and money seeking fulfillment from external resources. We spend billions trying to find the secret to happiness, fulfillment, and reformation. The self-help industry is a multi-billion-dollar industry. Oprah, Oz, and Phil have gotten ridiculously wealthy, selling a promise of personal fulfillment. But here's the news I was sent here to tell you today. Oprah can't help you.
All right.
Oz can't help you.
Right.
Phil can't help you. The philosophy of man's wisdom can't really help you find an answer to what your soul longs for. Now, the techniques in the books and the seminars they have aren't completely useless, because if you apply some of that stuff, you can potentially experience a great deal of worldly success. But when you look at it, it's no different than what our old folks have been telling us for generations. They've been telling us, start with the man in the mirror. You need to work hard. You need to manage your money wisely. You need to be a person of integrity and keep your word. You need to treat people fairly. You need to have a plan. You need to do the right thing. And most of all, you need to give God his due. You don't have to be a graduate of Harvard Law to understand that if you are diligent at doing those things, you can experience what the world calls success.
Mm-hmm.
But success is not the end-all and be-all of our existence. Because some of the wealthiest, most successful people in the world are also the most miserable on the inside. Because the only agent that brings about true change or true reform in a person, in a church, in a family, or any organization, is God's Word. Only God's Word can truly reform us into being the people that we need to be. Now, for those of you again who haven't checked out yet, start playing with your Blackberries or tipped out the back of the sanctuary, or started looking at the clock. There's only 10 minutes left. I won't be long. Here's how the Word brings about that change. First, it tells us to lay aside all filthiness.
All right.
Not some of it, but all of it. And superfluity of naughtiness. What in the world is that? So when I read superfluity, I had to get to dictionary.com. I had to get busy. I had to look up the word superfluity. And when I researched that word, it turns out it's just another word for excess. So excess naughtiness was a little bit easier for me to understand. Okay. I could get with that. But then I had to go check out the word naughty just to make sure I knew what it meant. And when I researched the word naughty, what I found is that it has a quite a different meaning today than it had when King James was translating the scriptures in English. It had a much stronger connotation back in the 16th century. The word naughty back then was used to describe something that was unhealthy, something that was unpleasant, something that was evil, something that was hostile, something that was ineffective. So when we closely examine what the Apostle James is telling the church, he's telling them that there was an excess of evil, indecency, hostility, and ineffectiveness among the people, and that reform was in order. And it seems to me that hasn't changed in the last 2,000 years. Because even inside the church, you will find an excess of hostility, unpleasantness, evil, indecency, and ineffectiveness. So what are we going to do about it? How do we let the word reform us? Well, that's going to be point number two. We need to receive God's word.
All right.
The way the word of God reforms us is when we receive it. It only reforms us when we receive it. And when we receive it, we have to receive it with meekness and humility. That means not like a know-it-all, not with the spirit of, well, that doesn't apply to me. That's for him, her, her, and them. We need to receive the word of God for ourselves. See, we can't receive the word of God and try to apply it to somebody else's sins and shortcomings. We have to start with the man or woman in the mirror. And when we do this, then the engrafted word is able to save our soul.
Yes, sir.
And that's not always a comfortable process, because that's where true reform begins. We have to submit to the authority of God's word and allow it to have its way in our lives. You know, I sometimes joke with people and I say, there were parts of the Bible that I wish were left out. I wish some stuff was left out. That whole part about turning the other cheek, I left that out. The whole part about loving your enemies and praying for them, sometimes you feel like you want to leave that out. I just scratched that. See, sometimes you don't want to turn the other cheek. You want to throw the other fist. When you're down to your last dime, the last thing you want somebody to do is run up to God, love the cheerful giver. You want to hear that sometimes. And I know I'm not the only one like that, because there are parts of God's word that make all of us uncomfortable because they confront us and they challenge us. They cause us to look at ourselves, the man in the mirror, and make us see those areas where we need to change.
Yes, sir.
But when we make the decision to reject those parts of God's word and not obey them, that's when we run the greatest risk of being outside of God's will. That's where point number three this morning is: we must respond to God's word. Our text tells us that hearing the word is not enough.
All right.
We've got to respond to it. We've got to act on it. When we fail to act upon the word but still claim to be a follower of Christ, we are deceiving ourselves. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments.
Yes, sir.
So we can't claim to love God. We can't claim to follow God unless we love his word and follow his word.
All right.
If all we do is hear the word and keep on living the way we're living, we're just like the person that looked at the man in the mirror and walked away and forgets what he looked like. It's only when we hear the word and continue in it and respond to it that we're blessed by it. See, we got too many people that sit under the word, they go to church, they run the Bible study, they're reading books, they're watching every TV preacher on the air, and they never act on anything that they hear. They heap up knowledge as if it's some kind of collector's item because we don't do anything with what it is.
All right.
That we heard. See, when we allow the word to become implanted in us and take root, just like any other seed, it's supposed to produce something.
Yes, sir.
Well, what is it supposed to produce? It's supposed to produce obedience, reformation, and Christ-like character. So our point number four is we need to reach out.
Yes, sir.
It's time to do something. There's a lost, dying, suffering world out there seeking truth. We need to be the ones that give it to them.
Yes, sir.
They're looking to us, the church, for answers. Because not only are we called to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, we're called to do some stuff at home, too. We're called to reach out to those among us. See, to me, it's harder to find a more plainly stated verse than what we'll find in verse 27 of this text this morning. Pure religion. Not the fake kind, not the flashy kind, not the showy kind, not the popular kind, not the trendy kind, but the pure kind before God the Father is to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep ourselves unspotted and untainted by the world.
Yes, sir.
See, fatherless and widows applies to any individual that's in distress in some kind of way. I mean, just look at the names on our prayer list this morning. Long list. How many of these people have we visited in their affliction? How many of them have we called? How many of them have even prayed and interceded for? We need to do better. All of us. See, regardless, I know I'm right. Regardless of what our role or position is in the church, each one of us has an important job to do and a purpose to fulfill. That's why God woke us up this morning. That's why he blessed us with another day. He left us here to serve him. And we serve him by serving his people. See, when we fail to reach out to others, to offer a helping hand, to put somebody else's need above our own, that's how we become tainted by the world. Because we start to look just like those other folks who have no relationship with Christ at all. You can't tell the difference. When we are just as selfish and self-centered as the world, we fail to glorify God. I'm saying we. It's all of us. Because no one will know we are God's people until we actively serve and minister to others. So just like LeBron, each of us has a decision to make. And we got to decide which part of reaching out to others are we going to play. See, when things aren't going our way, when things aren't working right on the job, when things aren't working right at home, when our lives aren't progressing the way we feel they should, when the church isn't progressing the way we feel it should, we can either blame others, we can get busy, or thank bless others. So, while some of you might be impressed with your ability to examine a problem and explain what it is and how it got that way, you'd be even more impressive and more effective and more valuable by looking at the man in the mirror and coming up with a solution to those problems. See, there are real life and death problems out here to solve. Poor people are hungry. They need to be fed. Old people are lonely. They need to be comforted. Young people are running wild with no discipline. They need to be mentioned. There are needs all around us to be met. So let's meet them. What we need to do is stop making so many excuses about why things are the way they are and look at the man in the mirror and do something. We need to stop using the same tired excuses. Okay, so you're not completely qualified or capable to meet a need. Find somebody who is and work with them. You don't have to be in charge. You don't have to have the total solution, but you can work to be a part of the solution. Even Jesus didn't work alone, because there are no lone rangers in God's kingdom. That's what is called the body of Christ. All the members, all the pieces, all the parts join together in unity to function together to serve God's purpose.
Yes, sir.
So in order for us to experience any kind of progress on this Christian journey, we need to start with the Word of God. And we need to let that be our guide and our standard for how we live. We've got to allow God's Word to reform us.
Yes, sir.
We have to receive that Word. We have to respond to that Word. We need to apply that Word and reach out to others. See, we have to understand that there will never be any kind of true change on the outside until we first begin to change on the inside. And the first change that must take place before you can undergo true reform is to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord.
Yes, sir.
You've got to receive God's gift of salvation and respond to it by accepting Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And if you meet me at the altar right now and say, Tyus, I have no idea what you've been talking about for the last 20 minutes, but I do know I need to change. We're going to reach out to you, and we're going to pray for you, and we're going to lead you on this journey of reformation.
Yes, sir.
Now, if you've already accepted Jesus and you need to be connected to a body of believers, Let me tell you right now, this place is not perfect. But we are striving and pressing toward the mark of a high calling to fulfill God's purpose and plan. And if you come forward right now, you can be a member of this assembly. If you once knew the Lord, but you're far and away, you can come and rededicate and commit your life to Christ. And you can also come forward right now if you just need to be reassured that you're not alone in this thing. We have people here to help you. Because at some point you're going to have to ask yourself the question, are you ready to die? Because you want to do it. And if you aren't ready, where are you going to go? Where are you going to go? Are you completely 100% assured that you're going to heaven? We got a decision to make. The decision is yours.